So what's going on, Sound Session listeners? This is your host, Michael Heidemann, sitting in the smallest cube of an office at the moment, and I thought I could try something new today. I'm creating a concept where I'm going to bring musicians in from all over the world to play here at WGN Radio in Chicago in my podcast booth. Now, keep in mind, this is a studio that runs the length of about 7 feet by 5 feet. It's very, very, very small. I'm enclosed by a cloth interior sound booth, so it also gets very, very hot. I'm thinking of a few different names for the segment. Right now, the front runners are Uncomfortable Talk, Uncomfortable Room, which is what I'm feeling right now, or Small Room, Small Talk, or Small Chat, Small Room, or the name that I was given by my next interviewee, Dennis, from the band Wolf and Moon, The Cubed Sessions, because we're sitting in a cube at the moment, but I'm not quite sure. So if you have any ideas, you can email me at soundsessionspod@gmail.com or find me at michaelheidemann.com and shoot me an email there with your suggestion. I'd love to figure out a name. I think it's an interesting concept, and it's also a great concept to, you know, bring out really, really intimate conversations. Maybe I should call it the sauna sessions because it's so hot right now. Maybe that could work. Anyway, we'll see what happens. But on to my next interview with the band Wolf and Moon, this incredible, incredible, dreamy-eyed group from Berlin, Germany, who I happened to stumble upon when I was at South by Southwest giving a mentor session, and these two rock star, indie, long-haired, fur jacket musicians come up to me and ask me how to find shows in places that they've never been before. My advice on the music industry. Something about them said this is a band that might go far. This is a band that's not only taking on an adventure, they're embracing the journey of music. And I just love that about Dennis and Stephanie, the two great artists from the band Wolf and Moon. So I invited them down to Chicago, and lo and behold, they came here on their cross-country trip right into the WGN studios and into my small podcasting booth. They're an amazing group, and I'm not just being facetious. Their voices and their harmonies are kind of enchanting, and the vibe they put on just seeing them perform, and you'll hear about this in the podcast, is just extraordinary. The way that they are so into their music, so genuine with their listeners, so creative with their sound. I adore them. Okay, I'm babbling on now, but let's take a quick listen to the hottest thing that's coming out of Berlin right now, the dreamy folk rock, adventure-driven journeymen, otherwise known as Wolf and Moon. Hey, welcome in, everybody. This is Michael from Sound Sessions here in Chicago at WGN Radio, and I am so elated to be speaking with my friends from South by Southwest who came all the way down here to the city of Chicago, the band Wolf and Moon. Hey, guys, can you introduce yourselves real quick?
Hello, I'm Dennis.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we are Wolf and Moon from Berlin.
Yeah, and we make indie dream folk.
Oh my gosh, I've been listening to your music all day in preparation for the interview. I mean, since we met, I guess we could start there, literally in a conference room in Austin, Texas, and somehow made the connection to that you were going to be coming through Chicago on this epic journey, almost Bill and Ted style, where you guys had this mission to come to America and figure out a way to get a label, speak to labels, create great music, go to shows, and now you're, what, is it midway through the tour?
No, we're almost sadly at our end of the tour. So we set out to go to South by Southwest. We got into the, like, in there or booked there. And that turned out really great because we had first you get one official showcase and then you kind of want more bookings there, and people say, like, yeah, that is important. If you play more and more, people can see you. And then in the end, we got, like, quite last minute, or not last minute, but it was quite late. We got a lot of these bookings. So we had 8 showcases on South by Southwest, which is pretty awesome. Had a great time. And we already knew that we were checking flights, like, what is the cheapest way out of the States. And it was, or not the cheapest, but we were looking like, what is a cool road trip to do? And mm-hmm. then we saw that Chicago was a good exit strategy, but that meant like we came from Berlin, and then we flew into LA, and that was then from LA to Austin, already a great road trip, beautiful mm-hmm. Scenery, and then from Austin up to Chicago. So we had a great drive.
Wow. It seems so long. And were you guys focused on going and doing shows on in each state that you passed through? Or what was the game plan as far as, you know, touring and performing in front of people?
So South By was definitely the main thing. And we had a couple of shows in Nashville. And the rest was basically like from LA to Austin. We shot some video clips, some mm-hmm. music videos. We had a couple of interviews on the road. And so we basically only played in Houston, Nashville, and Austin. And the rest was more like shooting videos, photo shoots, meeting press, and a radio like you.
Wow, how cool, how cool. And by the way, we are in the tiniest of rooms right now here in WGN Studios. Let me see if I can... Maybe this will make it a little bit easier for you guys, right?
No, I think it will be like...
Better like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll just lean in. Otherwise,
yeah,
I'll...
It's okay. I just don't see you when I talk like this. And then...
Yeah, Stephanie is on a high chair right now and talking into her microphone. Okay, cool. Well, yeah, I love the story. I love the tenacity of you two. And when we spoke in together in Austin, I knew that there was something different about your band, which drew me to the story behind you guys. And researching you guys today, Wolf and Moon, online and seeing your videos and everything, which, by the way, are just so artistic. They're like artistic little pieces, masterpieces almost.
Oh, thank you.
Who does those videos, by the way?
Well, it depends on which one you saw, but... lately, we've been trying out to make videos ourselves. Mm-hmm. So the one for the song called Before, we shot in Australia. We were on tour there, and it's basically our strategy is like, if you have to think of a concept or create like a whole studio environment to shoot a video clip, that is very costly, mm-hmm. and we have to operate on small budgets. So we just used nature and our kind of like holiday vibe as a backdrop to shooting videos. Mm-hmm. That has been the
latest.
We
basically just take you on the tour with us.
Yeah.
So we just shoot when we're traveling anyways.
It's so genuine. And that's what comes through in a lot of music today. You need to be genuine and you need to connect with your artists or your fans in a different way.
Yep.
And I think that you guys do that by showcasing the journey you have to go on and tying it in with the music that you put on and say, hey, we're here. You know, we're in this part of the country. What's going on? It's good to hear from you guys and giving people updates. I especially like the blog post about Chicago that I read today.
Nice.
So let's go back to the beginning then.
Yeah.
What was the inception of Wolf and Moon? How did you two meet?
How did we meet? We met in a bar. I was dancing on no music. And for some reason, I heard music in my head. Mm-hmm. But there was no music in the bar. And for some reason, Dennis liked that. And then a couple of months later, I said, I'm going to America because I wanted to songwrite in LA. And then he said he's going to join me because he'd never been to America. And I said, like, okay, if we go together, we should actually play gigs because it's much cooler to tour than to go on vacation. Mm-hmm. So I started booking a few shows in New York in Rockwood Music Hall and the Bitter End. And then we had the shows, but we didn't have any music yet. So we wrote 45 minutes of song material. That was our first songs, and some of them are still on the record that we just released.
No, wait a minute. So you booked the shows without any music?
Yeah. So I was a solo artist already before, so I did that with my old stuff, and mm-hmm. I said, I'm coming with a new project.
Okay. Oh, so you had something built in.
Yeah.
What was your first project's name? Just your name?
I'm also always a little bit embarrassed about it. I don't want people to look it up. But yeah, if you want to laugh a little bit, I was very young and, you know, it's the first thing that you do is always a little bit like a bad pancake. That's how I describe it. It was called Stephanie June.
70. That's actually a really nice name. It's delightful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the name is okay. It's just like the music was very young and yeah, it's okay. You know, that's part of the journey of becoming, growing into a mature artist.
Exactly. Because, you know, you look back and you think, oh my gosh, I was so young. What was I thinking? All my songs were just, yeah, kind of like bubblegummy and easy to write and understand for my listeners. But that's the stepping stones you have to take as an artist. I mean, do you think the Beatles came out of the, out of the shop?
They started with covers.
Exactly. Exactly. So then, Dennis, then what made you want to join in? What was the thing about Stephanie that you said, this might be something bigger than what I could even imagine?
Yeah, I'm born into a family that was traveling a lot, but we somehow never went to, it was too expensive to go to the States. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big movie and lover. So I kind of thought that I knew already a lot about the culture. And wanted to experience that. So when she said, I'm going to the States, I was like, I'm joining you. And it was also New York, San Francisco, LA that she had in mind. So it's pretty awesome, like these cities to visit them. Mm-hmm. And also for us, it was kind of a testing ground for the project. Like, is this music viable? And like, do people like it in the States? Mm-hmm. And if so, then if you come home, you know, you have a great story, and it was good testing ground. And the crowds, so we went to these shows that we had booked, but we also did a lot of open mics. Mm-hmm. And we were just really starting out. And the funny thing was also our setup was all set up to be like kind of a backpack band. So we had a super small acoustic travel guitar, mm-hmm. an iPad with a drum machine. And Stephanie had this keyboard that was from Toys R Us. It broke down at one point, and we bought a new one at Toys R Us here because it was just like the place where you could buy
it. Yeah, it was funny going to the Toys R Us store in New York and buying a keyboard for your tool. Yeah, for me it was also just a really great way to experience a country. Mm-hmm. When you go from one place to the other and you play music, it's a very different way of connecting to the local people mm-hmm. than if you just visit.
Mm-hmm. What a story, too, because you're going to America for the first time. You had been here before?
Yeah.
Okay, you had been here before, and you're going with a mission to create music and connect with people that way. Some people like just like to go to the Benihana or something like that and say, hey, I was there, or I saw the Sears Tower when I was through Chicago, or I saw the Empire State Building, which you were hitting a different scene. Yeah. I mean, how great was it? What was the reception of the people? Do you have a favorite city that you performed in?
Yeah, the reception was really good. So the and it's always like not to trump our own horns or mm-hmm. whatever, but it's just like how we experience it, at least like these open mics, for example. I think because we were the exotic band, you know, like we came from Europe, and so there's this room full of Americans who are playing there. Most of them like come there regularly, and then we are like, who are those people? Mm-hmm. They look funny, and then and then we played, and I think they really we had some great reactions to it. So for example, how we noticed that was that after an open mic, we got booked for the next week in LA to do a full show. So that is always a good sign that people really like what you do. He said like, hey, can you come back for a full show? Stuff like that. I think for us, LA was, so we were in New York and LA and San Francisco. San Francisco was just ruined by tech, we must say. Mm-hmm. It was like the artists who were living there were really sad, and like a lot of the people we spoke to were near to homeless, and just very, like the tech basically drove a lot of musicians and out of there. So we had very high expectation of that city, but it was just kind of gone there, the spirit of music and, you know, like the hippie style vibe. Yeah, we didn't find it, at least. New York was, well, that was
tell the story about Helge Belafonte.
Of?
When he gave you the compliment, great song there, son.
Yeah, exactly. So that was in L.A., but I lost his name. So
it's Belafonte, right?
Ah, yeah, Harry Belafonte. Thank you. So that was
you met Harry Belafonte.
Well, he was in
the audience, just yeah. sitting in the audience. I don't know why he just happens to go to open mics.
Wow.
Just yeah. sits there and likes the. I think it's also a very special venue that we have been to.
Yeah.
Known to be like with a good name, probably.
What was the venue?
Oh my God!
It was called.
And it was in New York, correct?
No, this was in LA.
In LA, okay.
Yeah, it's something with Gushlek or something like that.
It's
very hard name. We can look it up for you.
Okay.
But yeah, so we played our song and it was pretty crowded and they filmed this. And then he walked up to me and said, like, hey, great tune you got there, son. And it was just like this amazing, you know, like guy that kept happening to us in the States, that you meet these amazing people. So we also met the bass player of James Brown, and that is what you a little bit expect of America, that there are this awesome history here and these awesome people here.
But rarely does it happen that you meet these kind of people at open mics. I mean, there must have been something in the stars that Harry Belafonte, according to Google, the king of Calypso, came up to you and said, great song.
Yeah, yeah. I was, and the funny thing was, like, back then I didn't even know so much about him because we are maybe a different generation. So I had to look it up, you know, and then you're like starstruck and like, oh, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Man, that is so incredible. So you're meeting all these people and you're going and playing these open mics. What was the inclination, or what did you have to say to these people to kind of separate yourself? Or was it just you and Stephanie walking into a room and they're like, what are these guys going to bring to the table?
Yeah, I mean, we had funny outfits back then. I had like a gold pants and a jacket.
You still have gold pants.
You have them on right now.
So I think we don't have to do a lot to. And I was wearing a hat back then, I think. Like, I don't know. We just looked the part, I think.
I think we just looked normal, but for us, normal. I don't think it's... I mean, in Berlin, people look very, like, much crazier.
Really?
Yeah. And much more creative.
What do you think of the American audiences? Are we kind of bland? I mean, right now I'm in a blue sweater and jeans. And
yeah, but you're working at the radio, so you should wear that.
Okay, true. I'm trying to like show an air of professionalism. If I came in with my gold pants, I would get some weird looks, I feel like.
You would be the artist at the radio.
I feel like that too. So what is the difference between playing in Berlin, I guess, and playing in America?
I mean, for us, it's all about connecting with the audience. So we really like playing for an audience and connecting with them. So what we love to do is talking with people afterwards. And there's not that big of a difference. I mean, this tour, and especially South by Southwest, we noticed that the people here are more talkative during your show. But it's not that they're not listening. But in I would say in Germany in general,
maybe they're just so shy in Germany.
Yeah.
They don't dare to speak during your performance, which is actually a nice thing.
Yeah, are they more respectable when? So you're saying when you're playing on stage in Germany, everyone is very silent and they're just actually listening to the music.
Yes,
even at open mics.
No.
I've never done any open mics in Germany,
no.
So you can't really tell. But, I mean, it's a different thing in Germany. When we play shows, people buy tickets to come and see only us.
Wow.
And we're not at that stage yet in America. So I guess that's one of the reasons why we have experienced more talkative crowds. Because they just happen to be there and we happen to be there. But it was not like the people bought tickets just to come and see us.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully that will change in the near future.
As a musician myself, I play here in the city of Chicago, and I've always dreamed of playing at South by Southwest. Might I add, that is the place I think probably that was the most talkative for you guys, because everyone's networking and you're just you're inundated with so much music. You could be talking through Paul McCartney playing with Jesus as a backup dancer. And
yeah, I think that's true. Yeah,
yeah, that's also what we noticed. Like it wasn't necessarily us, you know. Like if it happens everywhere, and indeed, like people are talking and networking, and also the amount of bands. I think there were 1,800 bands there, so. It's hard to demand that kind of silence. On the other hand, we did pull a trick that always works, which is like our last song of our set. often is wild, called Wildebeest, and mm-hmm. we do that, like we like to play that on the bar. So then we go off stage, we climb on the bar, the nearest one, or a chair or something in the room, and then we play it fully acoustic. So we unplug the guitar, and that always gets everyone to drop silence, you know, like no one dares to talk through that kind of
How could you?
If you talk through an artist who plays completely unplugged, mm-hmm. you know, like you need to be kind of brave to dare to do that.
Yeah, you're a different kind of a-hole, I guess you could say. Like that's well, it's hard to even ignore someone who's playing on top of a bar that you're at.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
So that is always like also like about connection. That is something that really strikes people often. Like mm-hmm. When we do that, we talk to people afterwards, and that always is their favorite part of the set. And people take out their phones to film it, and it's just fun to do that. And it's our like little trick. So don't use that.
You create a moment that they can remember.
Yeah, exactly. That's for me. Like I don't really see it as a trick. I see it more as a really nice closure, intimate setting, something special that they probably haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. And also we leave all the backing tracks or like drums and sounds behind, and we just like we're just there with our voices and the guitar. And I think people really like that.
It's a beautiful thing. You want to, that's a great way to connect with your audience. What was the first conversation you had that made you want to do that? Did you leave a show one day and you're like, I can't believe that all these people weren't listening. We got to do something that's going to shake it up a bit.
Good question. I think for me, the birth of that idea was I was watching a set of Patrick Watson on TV. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge festival in the Netherlands called Lowlands, and he was playing that. It's a huge tent basically, and he walks in the middle of his set, he walks like into the crowd, and he does something like without instruments, he just sings a cappella a song like I was hiding underneath the sea, and then and people know that song, you know, like his fans know that. Mm-hmm. And start joining in, and that was just like the impact that had on me was like, okay, something, you know, to break this third wall basically that you are watching mm-hmm. Someone play, and to have that someone like be in the audience together was for me, I think, just a revelation. Like, okay, that is something cool. And then we transformed it to a little bit like, you know, let's stand on the bar, and that had to do with the song, and like it just. Yeah, it just felt right. I think we just did it one day, and then
yeah, I don't even remember. But
the first time,
I think one day Dennis just said like we're gonna go on the bar, and I had no like I mean yeah. So we just went there mm-hmm. on the bar, and it was just this weird thing that we just did, and then we were like, oh, it's great. Let's do it more often.
That's, I love that. I love that because I love going to a show and then finally somebody does something crazy like stand up at a bar or you know, like sit on someone's lap during a song. And I'm like, God, finally, finally, you shake it up a little bit from the same old John Denver song that I've been listening to my whole life.
Yeah.
That's so cool. What's been, have you had any bad reactions to standing on the bar? Have you had anybody get upset?
Well, there are some bars that say like, no, you're not going to stand on my bar. Mm-hmm. So we sometimes ask before because we don't. But it's also something funny when we say like, we're going to stay on the bar. And all the like the audience is like, yeah, let's do that. And then the bartender's like, nope. You're not. And then it's kind of this funny moment. They almost can't say no then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We never from the crowd never like get a bad reaction, of course, but yeah, these barkeepers sometimes
like. What are the bars like in Berlin and in Germany? Are they the same kind of feeling as an American bar? Like you're in one bar, you're in the mall.
Yeah, I think they're quite similar.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, Berlin has a lot of very crazy special ones mm-hmm. that's definitely worth a visit, but in general, it's the same kind of thing.
Okay.
And you don't have to show your ID when you get in.
Really? Oh, that must be nice.
They just, like, we you know, if you look that you're old enough, then And I think we can start drinking from 16 on. So yeah, there's not this big problem there, maybe.
All of us Americans, we would hear about that and be like, we should all move to Berlin or Germany or something like that.
Yeah.
This is kind of an off question. What's the most popular beer out in Germany? Or drink?
I would say Bitburger, which...
No, the you always drink. The red one. Funny logo.
Roadhouse? No, that's not popular. I mean, that's my friends. Okay, yeah, Roadhouse. It's called. It has this really ugly, funny branding just doesn't look so cool, but therefore it's cool. You know, like it's this ironic hipster, cool stuff, and it's called Roadhouse. Yeah, it's brewed in the south of Germany. It's really nice. Yeah, but I really. Like the microbrewery system that has started, like this whole IPA and APA hype that started in the States.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that, actually. Yeah. I drink almost only IPAs nowadays.
Ooh, yeah, they're pretty good. We have a lot of good double IPAs. There's a lot of microbrews here in Chicago. I think there's like hundreds, in fact. We have a lot of tours on that. America was just in Chicago was just announced that the Old Fashioned, which is a whiskey-based drink, is the most popular drink in Chicago. What's the most famous, harder alcohol in Germany, too?
I think nowadays it will be gin tonic. We drink a lot of gin tonic.
There is a big gin tonic
thing going on. We don't drink. I mean, we as in the yes. Germans and younger people. And with...
And our favorite whiskey drink is whiskey sour. Yeah. But I can't say if that's for all Germans, but for us.
Yeah, and I think Jägermeister, you know, like they have this whole herbal kind of licorice. No, but herbal drinks there. Like Jägermeister,
because that's
probably.
Like the biggest thing to come out of Germany since, what, was Red Bull from Germany too?
Don't know.
Okay.
Don't know.
Well, that's wild. Yeah, I love hearing about the different scenes because I work and I play at a bar here in Chicago.
Ah, okay.
And it's funny to see the reactions or the favorite drinks from other people who are playing music as well outside of, you know, just our bubble here in America.
Yeah, which is, but which it's pretty similar. I mean, we travel a lot. We sometimes say, a couple of things. Like, we could live... almost anywhere, we have the feeling like it, because the cities kind of feel very similar sometimes.
Yeah.
So they have, of course, their own little flavor and their own little twist. But I think one sad part of that is that the bigger chains are everywhere. Mm-hmm. So you have everywhere, you have Starbucks, everywhere you have H&M and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that is not so special. But the recent kind of, you know, like the cool hipster coffee places, that's also now everywhere.
Yeah.
So we were in Australia and they have in Melbourne, they have a crazy cool coffee culture there. But if you do that in Berlin, you have the same vibe as you have in Melbourne almost. So, and also in the States. So it's not a bad thing. Like we really like that, but it's not that you have to travel far for your favorite coffee place or think that it's so much different across the sea.
Mm-hmm. If you were to move in America, where would you guys want to create as your hub? Where would you want to be?
Do we have to say Chicago now? Because we're in Chicago already.
You are required by law to say Chicago. No, of course not. Anywhere in the world.
Chicago, we've been here for 2 days now. And I have only known it from, you know, like Kanye West and Chance the Rapper.
Yeah.
Like this great interviews I see from them and like Chance, for example, he's always talking about it and he's still here and he loves it here, I think. The experience so far has been good, but we're also like in work mode. So we're very, we're not tourists, but more like working.
Have you played shows here in Chicago yet?
No, not yet. It was kind of too short notice that we started looking for shows and we connected with some bands and people who wanted to look to book a show for us, but it was just too short notice. Mm-hmm. The good thing, I think, was so far, I would say LA really attracted us and Nashville maybe even...
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say, but where we come from, people always tell us, if you move to America for your career, you should either go to New York, LA, or Nashville. Mm-hmm. That's what we're told, and I guess they say that for a reason. But I mean, living in Berlin, I'm a little bit scared of the like high living costs of places like LA or New York. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure like how people do that, because I think it's nothing compared with what you spend on living costs in Berlin. Mm-hmm. So
is it much respect. Lower in Berlin?
Yeah,
to live out there.
Yeah, it's much lower.
So you go and get a cup of coffee. How much would it cost in Berlin? At the same price, like a.
That is hard.
It's more about the rent.
Yeah. That is
much cheaper.
Yeah. So what about like a regular studio in Berlin? What would it cost?
So the rents are now also going up, mm-hmm. but like I have a lot of friends who live like in a nice apartment and they maybe share it with other people, but they just pay like 400 euro. Mm-hmm. And if you want to have a whole apartment for yourself, you might go up like 700. And then, obviously, depending on where and how big the apartment is, go up to 1,000. But,
that's yeah. almost, yeah.
That's
there,
already, yeah.
That makes sense because it is cheaper. Like, here, it's much more inflated, especially if you live downtown in Chicago or you live in downtown L.A. or in Westwood. It'd be a lot more expensive. Where you look at the price tag and you're like, this isn't even worth it. I won't be able to eat.
Yeah, ever. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And we definitely want to have a lifestyle where we are free to, you know, have a lot of travel.
Yeah.
And I don't want to feel like I'm a slave to my rent.
Yeah.
You know, right. it's already hard to earn money with music. And then if everything just goes to your rent and you're even traveling, you're not there all the time. It just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially as a musician too, right? You want to be able to create and really focus on your dream rather than being like, oh, I need to get a job
yeah,
as like
exactly.
an auditor or something. Like
and
that.
Then even most of the time you would end up living in a very tiny place, mm-hmm. just in a very small apartment. And well, in Berlin, you can get something pretty big where you have your own, like we have our own rehearsal room in the house.
Wow.
So it's, that's and it's great. Freestanding, so we don't have any neighbors complaining. And yeah, I don't know. That's just something that's so convenient. And I guess living in LA would be super good for our career. But yeah, I don't know.
I think you two would fit in very, very well in LA. I have that feeling about you. So you said you're winding down with the tour. You're playing some shows back in Europe starting April 3rd in Hamburg. And then you're going through London, Amsterdam, Utrecht?
Utrecht, yeah. That's where we're from.
Oh, that's where
that's
you're from?
Where we met.
Shout out Utrecht. Am I saying that correctly?
Utrecht. Utrecht.
Yeah, I need to get that a little
yeah,
cause, bit
more. Because we're touring kind of behind our just released record, which mm-hmm. is Before It Gets Dark. Mm-hmm. It's our debut. And yeah, so we wanted to play like wherever, like in all these cities to promote our album, basically. So we started also with Australia. Now we had...
we went to UK.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, UK already. Then this whole South by Southwest, and we wanna come back here actually to tour more behind this album. Mm-hmm. And the album is maybe interesting. Is like it's all recorded in Sweden, in Stockholm, and that's so back to that all the story we said about the States. That first trip that we did. After that, Stephanie said, "Okay, let's go to Sweden for 3 months." So first, she kind of got me out of my comfort zone by saying, "Let's go to the States for a month," which I loved. But the length of a holiday or something like that, when you have your work and everything, you know, kind of. Trapping you in your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Then she said, like, okay, let's go to Stockholm for 3 months. And then I was like, oh, I cannot do that. I had my own company back then, so I couldn't leave that, I thought. And then she kind of stretched my boundaries again, like, what is possible? Mm-hmm. And then I said to my company, okay, let's try it. I'm going to work remote, etc. And there we met our producer. So in that sense, it was a great move, and we really liked Stockholm. Mm-hmm. And back then, we were also looking into like where can we live, maybe elsewhere, and that was just way too expensive for us. So then we decided on Berlin right after that.
How incredible. The story is just insane. I mean, the fact that you guys are so focused and so driven and going on this amazing adventure to promote your music and promote the new album Before It Gets Dark, which you can find anywhere, correct?
Yeah.
Spotify, iTunes, on your YouTube page as well. Where can everybody find you and if they want to contact you directly?
Yeah, through our website wolfandmoonmusic.com, we it's easy to connect there. There's like an email address there.
Yeah, we're looking forward to we're working on coming back to the US in July already. So we're working on it right now, and I'd say if you like to stay in touch, it's always like good to follow us on Instagram. So we're like putting stuff up there, but we also have the newsletter that we write with so much love, and we will definitely send out the tour dates once we have them together for July. So we're currently working very hard on it, but this year it's for sure we will come back.
July is a quick turnaround to come back to the States, right?
Yeah, it's either gonna be July if everything works out, so fingers crossed, or if not, it's gonna be in autumn, probably October.
Wow. Okay, before I let you guys go, I'll give you a few names of some venues around here and some people who can hook you up with some shows.
Please do.
Mm. Yeah. Because I want you guys to come back to Chicago.
We
so I
should
can see
play Chicago. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, we have a ton of music festivals here that I'm sure that you guys would be a good part of. You guys would be great pitchfork artists, I feel like. Yeah.
That's Dennis' favorite blog. He reads that every day.
I wake up and
do you
and
have
pitchfork.
A personal contact there? I think it's all about that.
Yeah, I'll tell you after the show. Shout out Pitchfork. Everybody, you should check out the band Wolf and Moon. Again, their new album, Before It Gets Dark. I kind of close out the show talking to the artists about, you know, when they were growing up and the advice that they wish that they would have gotten. What kind of advice can you two give, especially since you're on the trajectory upwards, to the artist who's sitting in his mom or dad's basement, or she's sitting in, you know, her garage strumming a guitar? What kind of advice can you give them to kind of go on the same route that you did?
It's actually really funny that you asked that, because I just wrote a blog post about it. I'm gonna publish it soon, because I realized that for me, it took a long time. I was born in the middle of nowhere kind of place, mm-hmm. especially for if you make music where everyone's just a doctor or a teacher or something like that. And it took me a long time, also because I didn't grow up in a family that's in the music industry. It took me really a long time to figure out that location really matters. Mm-hmm. And the opportunities that a city holds for you. So you're making it really hard for yourself if you have all these dreams and you live in a place where none of these dreams, they're actually real doors that you could open. So think about, think about the opportunities, the city where you live or where you spend a lot of time. You could maybe travel there more often. The opportunities that this city holds for you, are these the opportunities that you actually are looking for? So if you want to get signed to a label, are there labels in your city actually? And be brave enough if you your dream is really really strong and really important to you, then just be brave enough to leave your friends behind and move.
Yeah, and I can add to that, every little step that you take, if you're following your dream, is a fun step. So where in a career you might be, I mean, this is also a career, but where you could see in a job, for example, that you want to go somewhere, and if that's enjoyable or not, I mean, this is just so much fun, and it's your passion, and it's it's hard work. We really work hard, and you don't know behind the scenes what goes on, how much we do ourselves, and how much kind of Stephanie is our kind of manager and mastermind, how hard she works at it. But that doesn't mean that it is still fun, because it's your passion, it's your dream. So every little step is also is also great. And we also see it what is success for us? You know, we don't have to be known by everyone and be crazy, crazy rich superstars. We love playing for smaller audiences as well. Not saying that they might that we want them to grow, but still there's just, if you have a clear definition of when I would be happy, like what would be success for me, then you can be happy during that whole route there, and that is kind of where we are at now. Like we're just on this crazy cool travel story together, making music, making albums, and yeah, that's the lifestyle. And I think a lot of people should follow their passion. Mm-hmm. And just quit their jobs, follow their passion.
You heard it here first, folks. Quit your job, follow your passion, be brave. Man, I love that story. The adventurous duo of Wolf and Moon, their new album, Before It Gets Dark, is right now streaming everywhere. Make sure you pick it up. Stephanie and Dennis, I can't wait to see you guys back in Chicago. Thanks for joining us on Sound Sessions.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The hunting spree, catching the wildebeest. I used to run wild and free, build my own captivity. You alone are watching. So you share that you are not afraid. Your eyes have opened mine today. Don't throw me out. Don't tempt me now. Don't dare to walk in my cage. In my cage. I dream of reality. My future history should stop in me. You share that you are not afraid. Your eyes have opened mine today. Don't throw me out. Don't tempt me now. My cage,
don't dare to walk.
In my cage,
don't dare to walk.
In my cage,
don't you dare to walk.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram @SoundSessionsWGN.